Hello again, Jodie and Stuart here once more. Welcome to our time of worship and our sermon and reflections together. Let us pray. Father, we place ourselves in your presence. You are always with us, but we are not always open or attentive to you. So we place ourselves in your presence and we pray that by your Spirit you would speak to us. Through your word, through what's said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jodie's going to come now and read our reading from Scripture, which is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, then 44 to 52. So that's Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 31.
He taught them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour, until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old.
Thank you, Jodie. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would blow through your word and blow through me and what I say and speak into our lives, that we may hear from you, the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last 4 months have been difficult, a real struggle for many of us. But what have you found to be a treasure during this lockdown period? What have you valued during this time? What is the pearl of great price that you have discovered during this difficult season? I've missed gathering for worship with other people, visiting other people in their homes, but all the other meetings, not so much. But I have had more time for prayer and for study. And I've discovered again that God is with us in all times and all places and is not limited to church buildings, and that God is real and draws alongside us in our struggles and our difficulties. And in some of my times of prayer and silent meditation, I felt God draw near to me and reassure me of his loving presence. The importance of prayer, of spending time in God's presence, has been reaffirmed for me during this time when we haven't had the ability to go into our places of worship. We can still be present to God and he to us. It's going to be strange in the coming weeks when we do eventually go back to gather together to worship. One of the things that we won't be able to do at present is to sing, which will be strange in many respects. But one positive of not being able to sing is that we may appreciate the value of silence in worship again. When we can't sing, we may have to spend more time in prayer and in silence together. And that might teach us a thing or two about the importance of silence in our worship, which as Baptists we can lose sometimes. We can be quick to sing or quick to read or quick to give sermons, but not always spend the time waiting upon God in silence and in prayer. The two very short parables that I'm going to focus on are the treasure found in the field and the pearl of great price. And we are discovering that the treasure in the field, or the pearl of great price, are the discovery of God's kingdom, which is among us in Jesus. God's rule and reign, which is present, not fully present, but really present. Jesus often said, the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is amongst us, the kingdom of God is within us. And there's a tension between the kingdom being really present in and through the ministry and life of Jesus, and in and through us today by the presence of the Holy Spirit. But it's not here in all its fullness. If you look at the world around you, you can say, well, God's kingdom hasn't come in all its fullness, because why is there injustice? Why is there suffering? Why is there death? Why is there pain? If God's kingdom was fully present, none of these things would exist. And there's a tension between the already and the not yet. And we live in that tension. We live in the sense that the kingdom has been inaugurated, is here, but it's not fully realized yet. It's not yet. So we live in that tension between the already and the not yet. That yes, the kingdom is here, it's growing, it's developing, but it won't be fully realized until Jesus comes in all his glory and establishes his kingdom in all its fullness. But we live within that tension, within that hope of it being present and of it coming and looking forward to its future realization. God is alive and active among us, and the discovering of that is worth everything. What could be more important than realizing that God is real, that God is at work, that God is here amongst us? And to discover that is to discover the treasure hidden, or the pearl of great price. Jesus came to announce that God's kingdom was amongst us, was coming, and will come in all of its fullness. Our response to the call of the kingdom is worth everything we have. Like the farmer finding the treasure, or the merchant selling everything for the perfect pearl. During lockdown, without gathering for worship, we have been thrown back onto God. Our faith stands naked with no props or supports. We discover what we really believe in such times and circumstances. How have we fared during this season? It's not been easy. For me, it's been a winnowing process of ups and downs. Some days I feel quite good and quite enjoy life, and other days on the verge of despair and hopelessness. But I think in the midst of all this, I've been drawn closer to God through all of this. It gives us an opportunity to take stock and to ask questions. What do we treasure now? What is important to us now? We've discovered the importance of family and friends and relationships. And I've renewed a lot of old friendships online, on the phone, catching up with people that I'd lost contact with and renewing those friendships. And that's been very important. But we need to ask ourselves, what should come first? And what should come first is God and God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the pearl of great price, is the treasure, and we should invest everything we are and everything we have in pursuing that kingdom. But in our world and in our lives, there are many false treasures. There are many fake pearls. We live in a celebrity culture where people want to be famous. You know, you ask young children sometimes, what do you want to be when you grow up? They say, I want to be famous. Famous for what? Doesn't really matter, but the importance of fame and celebrity. And there's been temptations during this lockdown period where we try to fill that void with consumerism. Amazon's profits have gone through the roof. Their share prices have gone through the roof. Lots of other companies have been in difficult times, but Amazon have done well because we try to shop ourselves out of the void of the vacuum that we have in our lives, thinking that consumer items and goods and products will fill that void. But we buy something and the next day we want to buy something else. It doesn't fill that inner void within us. Or we think that if we have money or if we have power, then somehow our lives will be full. But these end up being false treasures and fake pearls. What matters is God and God's kingdom. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, says, but seek first his kingdom, that's God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what matters is God and God's kingdom, that we should seek that first. And God's righteousness, God's justice. Some of the issues of injustice in our society have come to the fore in recent weeks, with the killing of George Floyd and the repercussions of that. We recognize the racism in our society as well as what happens in the United States. We recognize our complicity in colonialism, imperialism, and slavery, and how a lot of our wealth is built on the backs of that. And it brings issues of injustice to the surface. Perhaps if we'd been going along our normal business and we didn't have the lockdown, we wouldn't have responded in the same way to what happened in that situation. And as we think about the issues of climate change and the way we treat the environment, we're sometimes forced that we can make changes. Look at the changes that we've made in recent months in response to the pandemic and the economic implications of that. If we can do that, then we can sort out some of these issues. Or we think of the homelessness situation in Northampton. Most of the homeless people have been rehoused in empty hotels and different places. And one thing that the borough council has said, they're going to try and move people into longer term housing. And we pray and hope that that will be a reality. It'd be great if we didn't have to go back to making meals at the shelter for the homeless, that if there wasn't a need for that and we could invest our time and energies in other things, that would be great. But we need to be vigilant and to speak out for justice in these situations, because it may creep back to life as normal if we don't watch out. And we need to hold our politicians and our local councillors to account for the promises that they have made. In times like these, we are reminded that seeking God and his justice is what matters in life. At the end of our lives, if we seek God and his kingdom and his justice and invested our time and energy and effort in that, then we would have had lives that were worth living. What will be our priorities post-lockdown? Will it be seeking God first, his kingdom and his justice? Or will we just revert to what we were like before? One of my favourite poets is the Welsh poet R.S. Thomas, who was an Anglican priest, a Welsh nationalist, and often his prayers were quite dark, or his poems were quite dark and morose, and he, you know, was often quite angry in his prayers. I quite like that, to be honest. I like his honesty with God, questioning whether God was real, whether God existed, and he wasn't scared about expressing that in his poems, which were like prayers as well. But he has one poem which I always think of when I come to the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl, and it's a poem called The Bright Field, and it draws on those two parables and reminds us of how God's kingdom is present in the here and the now. So this poem is called The Bright Field, and I'll close with this. I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while, and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had the treasure in it. I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside, like Moses, to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. Let us pray. Father, help us to seek you and your kingdom first, to know that your kingdom is present now in the moments we find ourselves. If we are open to you, we can find you and your kingdom like a treasure in a field, like a priceless pearl. Help us to focus on that, and to know that we can find you and encounter you in the here and now, and give our energies, give our resources, all that we have, all that we are, to pursuing you and your kingdom and your justice, trusting you for the future outcome of that, knowing that you will provide for all our needs if we put you, your kingdom and your justice first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now Emmeline, one of our young people, is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
First, we pray for our world. We pray for all those affected by coronavirus, all those grieving for the loss of family and friends. We ask you to bless those seeking a cure. We ask you to give wisdom to the world leaders, that they will work together to seek the common good rather than focusing on their own nation's interests. Please, Lord, help us to also remember other global threats, in particular climate change. Help us to bring about a kinder and more compassionate world, one in which we seek to help each other. O Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, please bless our Prime Minister, the First Ministers of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, and the opposition leaders. Help them to work together to bring about the common good and to not focus on their own narrow political interests. Bless our local leaders. Give them wisdom, especially with the recent rise in cases locally. We thank you for all our key workers, those who have made sacrifices for the common good. We ask you, Lord, to bless all the churches in Moulton. Bless the leaders to make the right judgment in managing the difficult process of reopening safely again. O Lord, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we ask you to bless our church. We thank you for the lives of those who have been taken from us, and we ask you to help us in our grief. We thank you for allowing us to have some contact with each other virtually. We ask you, Lord, to bless those involved in the Alpha course. Please bless the church members' meeting on Tuesday. Help us to make wise decisions in accordance to your will. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the gift of salvation, which is freely available to all those who put their will and trust in him. We commit all these prayers to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Emmeline, for leading us so well with your prayers. We'll now close by saying the grace to one another. Imagine that you're saying the grace to people within the church family and wider afield. So let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us again this week, and hopefully see you again next week online. Go well, and God bless.